What we're celebrating today is it's kind of a dangerous thing. Danger not because of, you know, the wise men were dangerous, but because it has the potential of deteriorating into terminal cuteness. I think the whole story of Christmas has the potential of deteriorating into terminal cuteness. So, allow me to unpack a little bit about what we're talking about today and ask the question, what is it that is supposed to teach us? And there's two main veins that I'd like to explore. The main vein that the church is trying to teach us is that when you have the Magi, and by the way, if you notice, the Bible doesn't say three. We presume it's three, mainly because there's three gifts, and so gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So it doesn't say there were three gifts. I mean, three magi. The other thing it doesn't say. Sometimes we call them kings. Sometimes we call them magi. The word magi, which where we get the word magic from. Is basically a word that denotes a wise person. And the reason sometimes we say kings, because the kings of that era were also considered wise. And like, for example, you have the history of King Solomon, or at least they considered themselves wise. Okay? And a lot of them actually, like the Roman emperor of the time, considered themselves incarnation of the gods. And so we have these three, and actually, I don't think it says three, but we say three kings because they brought three gifts. And so we assign a king to each gift, although we don't know. And we don't know their names, even though tradition has given to us. Now, one of the things you have to remember is that when you study Scripture, you're not able, I mean, you're dealing with events that happened over 2,000 years ago. Now, I want to recommend a website to you that I think has a lot to teach, because I've been... It's not a Catholic website, but it's a Protestant website, but boy, it's really good. And the website is called Cold Case Christianity. ColdCaseChristianity.com. Now, what does ColdCaseChristianity.com do? Well, it's a website that is run by a 20-year Los Angeles homicide detective. And what the website does, he recently, about a year or two ago, he converted to Christianity. And the reason he did was that many of his friends were into the Christian life. But if you ask them what were their reasons for it, most of us, we couldn't say very well, well, that's just the way I was raised. Well, what he decided to do, and I'm not going to go too far down the road on this, I'm going to do a program on it later on in the year, but what he did is he said, okay, let me evaluate the evidence in the New Testament using the same methods that I use in presenting evidence at a trial. Okay? And he said, look, when you're looking at the Scriptures, you have to take the same evidence that you presented at trial. And at a trial, you cannot seek 100% doubt-free knowledge, because we're not looking to remove all doubt. Why? Because removing all doubt is impossible for anything. It's impossible. You can go, like, for example, imagine that you're really not in church. When you came into the church, what we did is we sprayed you with a little chemical that we found that provides you with the illusion that you're in church. And we got you out in 5 minutes instead of having to listen to my long homily. You're imagining all of this. Is it possible? Yeah. Anything is possible. Eliminating possible doubt is worthless, because there are people right now, there are scientists who are proposing that we are existing in an imaginary universe run by a computer. It's possible. Is it reasonable? And notice, what he says in Cold Christianity is, no. It, even though it is possible, it's not reasonable. And so when we're studying the New Testament, what you're dealing with is not removing all possible doubt, because you cannot do it. I remember a few years ago, I had to stop it because it turned out a little more intense. I was sitting with an older teenager, 17, 18, something like that. And I said to this teenager, in a class, I said, I'm going to lie to you. Are you ready? I am going to lie to you. And so I started. I said, okay. And she was sitting there going, okay, he's going to lie to me. I said, a few days ago, I spoke with your parents. And your parents told me that you were adopted. And they had not told you because the horrible story of your background. Now, I know I told you I was going to lie to you, but I'm really not lying. They just didn't want to break your heart. But I thought it was important, and I kept on going. And I said, I know I told you I was going to lie to you, but this is the truth. I had to stop it within 5 minutes. I had the young lady almost, I could see tears started coming down her eyes. Now, I told her that there was no doubt I was going to lie to her. But what happened? Everything has a possible doubt. You can't remove possible doubt from anything. So why am I saying this? Because when we're talking about the three kings, we're talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago in the Middle East. They talked a different way. They had a different way of referring to different things. And so, here we don't have the names of the kings. We don't have the fact that there's three. But we do know that the testimony is very early and direct. People who were there who told people right after them and people right after them. And I don't have time to go into that. But that's called, in a courtroom, that's called the chain of custody. You always try to make sure that the story, as it begins over time, because that's what a lot of people say to you, well, wait a minute, that was made up like 400 years ago. Well, it's the same thing in a trial. Okay, in a trial, if you have a bullet casing and it's got a mark on it, and the trial occurs 3 or 4, a cold case could have called 10 years from then, you have no idea whether a guy came in and took a perfectly good casing and made a marking on it. You have no idea. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. And so then it wouldn't prove the guy's guilt. However, that's why in court, they make you present what's called the chain of custody. The person who first saw the casing gives it to the next person who sees it, who verifies it, who gives it to the next person, who gives it to the next person. And what you see is that the information doesn't change across all that time. Everybody is verifying what has been said until it's time for the trial. That's what we have in the Gospels. We have in the Gospel what's called the chain of custody. The first witnesses who told their disciples, who told their disciples. And you have these writings in the ancient world. They're called the Church Fathers. And they attest to what the first generation said, and the story has not changed. There's a chain of custody in terms of the story. If it were a conspiracy, there'd be all kinds of weird stuff. As a matter of fact, that's why the early church decided not to accept some what's called Gnostic Gospels. Gnostic Gospels were written 400 years after the fact, and there was no chain of custody, and there was, you could tell that there were signs that they were being made up. So the early church said, these are the exact ones. So we have these three guys. Three, we don't know. It's these kings. Now, the question I want to ask you is this. Why did these dudes, these guys, why did these guys see this star? When the star was visible to everybody. Now, granted, if you're thinking about a star, have you ever tried to follow a star to someone's house? It doesn't work very well. And so what you have is, somehow, they were probably astrologers. And they saw a particular star that they interpreted as the Messiah was born in Israel. Now, at that time, there was quite a bit of, around Jerusalem, around the kingdoms of Jerusalem, there was quite a bit of talk about the possibility of a Messiah. We have a lot of fake messiahs that said they were the Messiah and they fizzled out. But all of a sudden we have these kings, these magi, who are not Jewish. And they were looking into the Jewish scriptures. Now what does that tell you about these three guys? I mean, everything that we know says that they were pretty rich. Okay? Did they have to do this? Nah. They could have sat back and enjoyed life. They didn't have to be looking. But somehow, these guys were dissatisfied. And they were looking into different scriptures, probably of different people around them. And they were asking the question, is any of this true? What is the meaning of life? Now, the very first thing you have to understand is, why does somebody look for the truth? And why doesn't somebody just hang back and enjoy life? And you know why? Because you can't look for the truth. You can't actively seek unless you're dissatisfied. If you're satisfied, you're having a good time, and you're sitting back enjoying life, you don't have too much of a reason to go searching for the truth. You go, oh yeah, all that philosophy, it's too deep for me. I'm just going to do daily life. These guys were dissatisfied. That's why periodically I often tell people, you know why a lot of, and I'm not going to go through this again, because many of you who come here on a regular basis have heard me ad nauseum on this. When you said, I'll never forget the lady that came in years ago and said to me, Father, what's this whole thing about being saved? What do I need to be saved from? I'm fine. Well, the whole notion of being saved or being rescued from anything makes absolutely no sense unless you're in trouble. It makes absolutely no sense. And so when you're going up to somebody and saying, are you saved? Inside, they may go, whatever. But inside they're going, saved from what? This dude's crazy. But you, all of a sudden, when you're in trouble, you know you need to be rescued. You know it. And so that's why, by the way, I believe that a lot of time God allows in our world when bad things happen. Why? Because it disturbs your complacency. All of a sudden you realize you're going to die. And all of a sudden you realize you don't want to die. And all of a sudden you realize everybody around you that you love is going to die. And you say, well, is there anything we can do about it? Nope.
Nope.
Except if maybe there was somebody who conquered death. But that's a story for another time. All of a sudden, we have these guys, these three guys, and they're looking for the star. Now, they find something. I have no problems with the fact that God uses whatever he wants to use to help you find the truth. Now, I think astrology is 100% bunk. I was going to say something else, but we're in church. Okay. I have no doubt that it's bunk. But I have no doubt that if God wants to use bunk to get you going in the right direction, God can use bunk to get you into going in the right direction. So these dudes, they're looking for the truth with a sincere heart. They're looking for the truth with a sincere heart. So God gives them, says, I'm honored that you are looking for the truth. And so he uses this star and he gets them going in the right direction. Probably in the right direction, but certainly it's not going to happen over a house. But they were studying the Jewish scriptures, and so where do they go? They go to Jerusalem, the capital. And they ask the Roman installed puppet governor, whose name is Herod. He's a puppet governor. And by the way, Herod is a horrible person. Okay? Herod was paranoid, probably a paranoid schizophrenic. Because Herod killed his wife and his children, had them murdered because he thought they may be a threat to his power. So this kind of tells you the kind of dude that he was. And all of a sudden they go to Herod and he says, well, and they're naive. They're stupid. I mean, they're wise kings, but they're stupid in this. They go to this guy and they say, where's the new king of the Jews? Don't they realize that all of a sudden Herod is hearing this and saying, oh, someone's after my power. And so Herod says to them, go and find this king. And when you're done, I want to go and worship him also. So come and tell me. And even though they're wise, sometimes people that are extremely intelligent are also don't have a lot of common sense. They don't realize that Herod wants to kill the kid. And so they go. Now, let's go back to this star. How do they find the house of Jesus? We do not know. We do not know. Just because we do not know doesn't mean that it's not true. Because if you go back to this cold case Christianity, one of the things that the guy says, the detective says, is when I'm helping a lawyer pick a jury, he says, are you the kind of person that needs every single question answered in order to arrive at something that you presume to be the truth or that you infer to be the truth? And if you say yes, they say off the jury. Because there's no way that you're going to, in life, make reasonable decisions if you have to have every single question answered. It's not possible. I bet you somebody could convince you of something that you thought 100% of the time that you're not your parents' real kid. Or you could say, well, they could study DNA. I'm sorry, but is there a possibility somebody switched the DNA in the DNA lab? Ooh, it's possible. So you can't answer that total question. And so we don't know. How did they end up? There's one theory, and one theory that sounds plausible. In the ancient world, the word for star and angel were the same. The angels were referred to as stars, as lights in the heavens. And so there's a probability that what the biblical writers, who were not scientists, are talking about is a light, some kind of light that led them to the house where Mary and Joseph were. And that's how they ultimately find the Messiah. So, in closing, so what does that have to do with us? What it has to do with us is two things, I think. One, what stage of life are you at? Are you pretty comfortable? You pretty comfortable in your life? Everything's sailing smooth? The younger you are, the more probable you are to say, hey, I'm cool. Now, I still remember when I was in my early 20s, I wasn't fat, I had hair. You know, I was cool. I had fairly decent number of girlfriends, right? So if you would have said to me, are you okay? I would have said, yeah, I'm okay. And it's only when life falls apart that you go, oh, God, I'm not okay. How do I get back together? Because it's either you try to get it back together or you blow your brains out. It's one of those two. But as long as you're cool, everything's cool. Being saved and being rescued, it's fine. Thank you so much, Jesus. I appreciate it. Right? But where are you in your life? And at least admit it. At least admit it. I don't have any interest in religion now because everything's pretty cool and I just don't have time. I have other priorities. Okay. Go for it. Just wait a while. Life's going to slap you upside the head so hard you're not going to wonder. You're going to wonder what the heck hit you. But sooner or later, trust me, sooner or later, if you're there, it's going to happen. Because I don't care how lucky you are, you're going to die. And trust me, starting the process of dying, and I'm starting it, I'm not dying. Okay? But when you start getting up there, where you see that you've lived longer than you have any right to expect to live, your body starts decomposing under you. Okay? It just starts. And you start getting, like, diabetes and you start getting, like I have, arthritis. I have to tell you this story. Years ago, I went to a youth conference where all the teenagers, and there was a Christian rock band, and all the teenagers were jumping up and down, jumping up and down. And I was trying to be with them, and I was just doing this. And the reason I was doing that, and some kid turns around to me and says, Father, why aren't you jumping? And I said, arthritis, kid. Arthritis. So, at least acknowledge where you are. Okay? If you start studying the truth of Christianity for reasonable people. Now, if you're saying you got to prove Christianity before all doubt, well, forget it. You're not going to prove anything before all doubt. You couldn't even be on any kind of jury case or any kind of death penalty case because nothing can be proved. Not even your own life can be proved beyond all doubt. But at least acknowledge, hey, I don't need to be saved, thank you so much, until you need it. And trust me, you will, sooner or later. Either that or, like I said, you blow your brains out. Yeah, one of those two. Depends on the rest of us. Are you comfortable? Are you not so good, but at least you're comfortable? Sooner or later, it's going to get worse. And you should find out about why you believe what you believe. A lot of us think we're too scared to find out. But actually, the reason for our faith is historically accurate. It has been verified. That's why I want you to go to this website, coldcasechristianity.com. Because the guy who runs the website is really good. He has been a detective for 20 years. A bunch of videos on YouTube. And you can see he takes you through applying the same stuff that he applies to solving cold cases, and he takes you through to apply it to the Gospels. And it survives beautifully. It'll help you with dealing with your friends who say to me, prove to me, and help you to know how to argue and how to do defense of your faith. So, today we're celebrating what? Epiphany. Why? Because three guys felt something was missing. And since they felt that something was missing, they started seeking for a deeper explanation of life. And since they were seeking the truth with a sincere heart, God was honored by that, and he led them to the truth, which is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Are you a person, whatever you are in your life, that is seeking the truth with a sincere heart? Or are you just blowing it off and enjoying life? If you're blowing it off and enjoying life, okay. Just know that it's not going to last. And sooner or later, you're going to see it. If you're honest and you really want to try and find the truth, start looking. You're going to end up exactly where everybody else does who seeks the truth. God will guide you to the best truth that you can have at any given time in your life. Not everybody's ready for faith, but God will guide you to the best truth if you're sincere, like the wise men. Three people who were seeking the truth with a sincere heart. I hope that in whatever stage of life you are, that you do the same. Thanks for listening.